Huh.
It is the busiest time of year.
It is the holidays this time of year.
Welcome to Drive to Ants Hockey. We have nothing else we can start with except the biggest news today coming out of the Vancouver. Quinn Hughes has officially been traded.
Yeah.
What like are your... That was oh, did the... you just hear about this?
No, it's been... I mean, it's like the worst kept secret. Like, but, you know, it was time. I'm surprised it was Minnesota.
Yeah, why not New Jersey? Let's start there.
So what has unraveled over the last couple days, you know, he gets traded to Minnesota. He's there now. And New Jersey was in on it. There was a few other teams, but New Jersey couldn't make the money work.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, he basically said to management after they've had a rough streak. He said that he wasn't going to re-sign.
Yeah.
So he gave them the courtesy of saying, "Look, you know, I'm out."
Right.
You know, so you better like I'm just letting you know once the contract's over, I'm not re-signing. And I think that's the classy move you can make. Like, hey, I'm not gonna. You know, re-sign, but I'm not, you know, I want you to get the max value for me instead of waiting till, you know, the whole song and dance, will he re-sign, will he re-sign?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's players that kind of waffle because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a big move. Like, it's a big commitment that you're making. And, you know, once you make that decision, pull the Band-Aid off and say, guys, I'm not, you know, my contract's up, I'm not coming back. I mean, now it's like the ball's in their court because he doesn't have – you know, it's not like he's a free agent where he can kind of manifest where he wants to go. He can kind of give himself that, hey, I want to play here or I want to play there. He's under contract. They could trade the contract, which they did. And
yeah.
They wanted to maximize the value. And Minnesota came up with the best deal. They made the money work and, you know, worked out for them. I mean, he's under contract for the next year and a half. And best believe he's going to be getting $15 million bucks in 2 years. I mean, that's where I think he's going to be valued at because he's technically 1A, 1B with Cal Makar as a top two defenseman in the league.
Yeah.
Which is the fact. I mean, and now he's on a team that's a winning team. They have legit top-end players.
Right.
So watch his power play assists go up. Watch his numbers just start to boom, boom, boom. And, you know, He's playing with a higher caliber of player.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, they have more depth and, you know, just more opportunity. I mean, he's playing with Kirill Kaprizov, who's one of the most, you know, when our top five player year in and year out since he's coming into the league. Like,
yeah.
So, well, it's going to be fun.
It should be interesting. The former forward Brock, or not former forward, but he's former teammate of Hughes, Brock Broser, forward for the Canucks, also apparently one of Hughes' really good friends, said he couldn't explain all of the emotions he felt at once. He was sad, happy, mad, all at once. It was just hard to take it all in and really fully comprehend that he wasn't going to be with us the next day. They are currently in last place. And it doesn't seem like that's going to change. What do the Canucks do right now?
Rebuild. honestly, there's talks of them trading a few more players. And I think you just kind of tear it down to the studs. And, you know, just put yourself in a better position for next year. I mean, truth be told, they're in last place, yeah, but they're not the worst team. I mean, they are, you know, you win two or three games. Now you're talking about being back in the hunt. Like they're not too far away from like a wild card where mm-hmm. it's, you know, they're still kind of hovering, but they got Thatcher Demko back. So they got a little bit more stronger goaltending, which is good, which they need. They just need to, just find that offense. And I think, you know, they may have to make some moves. I mean, with this team, I think Elias Pettersson should be leading this team in goals, and he's fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sherwood, who's really more known for being a physical player, really, aggressive forward, which is great. He's leading the team with 13 goals. Last year, he had 19. So this guy is really finding his scoring touch. He's a big trade. People want him on their team. So, like, he's someone who's going to get traded. He kind of bounced around for a couple years. He's been in Anaheim, Colorado, Nashville, and now Vancouver the last season and a half. He's someone that they could trade. There's talks of guys like Nils Holander getting traded. Connor Garland, who's someone they signed to a big contract. So there's a lot of moves they can make, bring in some youth and kind of build around Elias Patterson, build around Brock Besser, build around Z Bunham, who's the defenseman they got in that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Build around Marco Rossi. I mean, there's players that they could build around, plus the players that they have coming up, that they'll be okay. It's just going to be, finding that top-end offense. I mean, Jake DeBrusque is a solid offensive player. They still got, they got Evander Kane, who's not playing bad. They're just, no one's, leaps and bounds. They're all kind of in the same spot, and I think they need someone to kind of take on that offensive leadership and start to really dial it up, because otherwise it's going to be a rough go of it.
When do you think the Canucks can crawl out of this? How long do you think it's going to take?
The problem is you can't fire the coach right away. You got to let the guy develop. So as long as they keep him around for like 2 or 3 years, they'll be able to really develop a system. And I mean, this is a team that was 2 years ago was in the conference. They were a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that far removed. They have what is a good foundation. They just have to build off it. Vancouver is one of those cities that people want to play for. They need to get back to that because it is a good fan base.
Yeah.
They deserve a high caliber team. And, that's where we're at.
Fair. Midnight Saturday will mark the roster freeze. And this could be big going into especially such a busy next year, especially in the first couple months. What trades do you expect to see? Anything else big? Obviously nothing Quinn Hughes size. What do you expect to happen before Saturday?
There's a couple things that could happen. And I mean, there's a lot of players that have been talked about being traded all season. And one of them is one of my favorite players, Ryan O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. He's having a great year. He's one of the standouts of the Nashville team right now. He's putting up some good numbers, really driving that offense. I mean, he's got 27 points, 10 goals, 17 assists, which is really strong. I mean, he's just under a point per game. He's at 33 games. He's got 27 points.
Yeah.
I mean, just to put in perspective, last year he had 53 points in 79 games. So he's on his way to having another 60, possibly 70-point season, which is great. I mean, he's traditionally a 55 to 65-point player, 20-plus goals. He's someone that I could see.
Where would he go? Traded.
So there's a couple teams that have been kind of hovering around him. For the longest time, it's been the Devils.
Yeah, fair.
Two-way forward, offensive player, plays on the power play, can play just really a great fit for that team. They really need it, especially with Jack Hughes being out for another couple weeks.
Yeah.
They really need that center depth, and everyone talks about the most important position in the last offseason was your second-line center.
Yeah.
And he's someone who can fill right into that slot. He's someone that could really give a spark plug to that offense.
Yeah.
If they're able to get him. Another team that's looking at him is the Capitals.
Yep.
They're looking at bringing him in. I think the Capitals could entice a little bit more because they can do a young prospect in Hendrix Lapinière, who's got some good upside. He played a lot last year and a first round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gets it done. You know, Pierre-Luc Dubois has been up and down. You know, Strom's finally finding his stride. I mean, this offense, they're one or two players away from being just lights out. And Washington's a scary team, and they're just, they're the last like month and a half, they've really dialed it in. So he's a guy you could see definitely stepping in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know we talked about him a lot, but do you think the Canucks are done? Or are they going to get anything else done before
the Saturday? Canucks? Yeah, I think the Canucks can still. I think they're a team that now that they got the, I don't want to say they got the biggest
hurt
challenge, the biggest. You know, Quinn Hughes is, you can't replace Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
There's players that can get close to him. You could replicate him, but there is only one Quinn Hughes. With that said, who are young available defensemen that they could bring in to help bolster what they have, help kind of round out? Z Bunham is a really good player as a rookie. You know, he's a really good defenseman. He's a championship caliber defenseman. He won a championship in college. He's a great, great piece. I can see them going after maybe looking for some cap moves, maybe shedding some cap, give themselves a way to kind of lure some big ticket free agents, maybe just start getting something that they haven't had a lot over the last couple years is a lot of draft picks. So maybe they shed some players like, hey, we're not in it this year. We got Connor Garland. We got, you know, Jake DeBrusk. We got, you know, all these players, you know, Drew Connor.
Yeah.
You know, Evander Kane, send him to a playoff team if he wants to go. If he wants to go, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to move around. So I think, you know, Kiefer Sherwood is a guy that people have been talking about. So I could see him being moved to what team, I don't know. And there's going to be a lot of, there's a lot of chances they make some more moves. They're not done yet. And we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
With that. But I mean, there's also other teams. I think Buffalo, they're a team I could see definitely making some waves. They got a lot of players. They got a three goalie situation, so they could move a goalie. You know, they could look to bring in some players. They're going to have to find some cap room if they're going to re-sign Alex Tuch. I know this week's been a big Buffalo Sabres week. They fired Kevin Adams, who was their GM for the last like 5 years. They brought in.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. What do you make of that situation? Well, no, you already. So what do you make of that?
It's about time.
Long time coming.
Long time coming. I know we've bashed on the Buffalo Sabres, and not in to be. It's one of those places that I've always, it just scratches my head. Like, how do they get all these top draft picks? They develop them for a couple years. Things go sideways, and they all bounce. They all want to leave.
Really?
This team can and will be a playoff team under Jarmo Kekalainen, who is the GM, who was the GM of Columbus, who worked at St. Louis, who was in St. Louis. He's a guy who can find top talent.
Yeah.
He has a track record of bringing in and drafting players that play pretty good careers in the NHL. I mean, he's a guy who got, like, in St. Louis, Oshie, Pietrangelo, Stanley Cup winners. He's a guy in Columbus who drafted Zach Werenski, who's top defenseman, going to be an Olympic player. He just makes these great moves, and I think coming into Buffalo – He was a special advisor all year, so it was one of those things where they were just waiting for the time to like move Kevin Adams.
Yeah.
So he's definitely gonna be the spark plug that this team needs. I mean, yes, they're the last in their division, but they have 32 points. They're not far out. I mean, they win a couple games. Now they're back in the middle. Everything is kind of close enough where they go on a tear. They already are on a 3-game winning streak. They find another couple of wins. They get 4 or 5 wins under their belt. Now we're talking about a team who's on the bubble of being a wild card. They have top-end talent. both defensively and offensively. They have a ton of young prospects who are getting playing time, who are playing well.
Yeah.
They're a couple veterans away from really being, I would say, on the doorstep of a wild card. I don't think they're a top three. I don't think they're going to beat, you know, in the end of the day, I don't think you're going to see them above Tampa, Toronto, Boston, Florida. But you could get them in a place where, like, all right, this team is not an easy out. They're a tough team to play against, and they could be a wild card.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think they're right there, and I think they're a team that watch in the next couple days. You know, you got a new GM. He wants to kind of put a stamp on this team and look at players that he can potentially move. I mean, and over the summer before he got there, I mean, look at the defensive core. I know Bowen Byram was a name that was out there. He ended up re-signing for 2 years. He's someone that they can move, and that's like a $6 million cap move. They're gonna want to re-sign Alex Tuck. Alex Tuck's going to probably get close to like $10 million a year. He's a guy who can score 30-plus goals a year. You put him with Tage Thompson. Josh Norris, who when healthy is a 30-goal scorer. I say that with a grain of salt because he hasn't always been healthy, but when he is, can put up 30 goals. Young guys like Jack Quinn, who's in like 23 or 24. You got Zach Benson. You got the rookie, the Swedish guy. I forget his name. But they got some young prospects. This is a team that is on the come up, and which to me is exciting because I feel like they definitely are right there. They just need to make a couple moves, and I think they're dialed in, and that's fun. That's exciting because this franchise has the loyal fan base. They just need to just kind of make it happen. I think now changing leadership, I think we'll see that. Josh Stone, who they traded for, the J.J. Paterka trade, he's working out great. He's got 23 points, 10 goals. So they got some good players, man. I think Noah Oslin was the young rookie that I was trying to remember. Oh, okay. The name. He's doing pretty good. I mean, look, the team's doing pretty good. I think there's a couple guys they should look to trade or move on from, and they'll be in that great spot. And then you get, you know, when your top line could be like Thompson, Tuck, and Doan, that's pretty good.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's what would excite me as a fan of the Sabres.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another team out of New York that is not having such a good time as of now. So much so that they're recalling two players from the AHL, Gabe Perrault and Brennan Ottman, the Rangers seem to not be able to find the back of a net to save their life.
They can't win at home
against the Canucks, who we just talked about already, or like the epitome of dumpster fire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look, you know, they will be considered that until they prove otherwise. But let's try to be nice to those.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's a moment of silence. You lost your best player, so we'll give them a pass.
Okay.
But my new favorite team, the New York Hockey Rangers.
Oh yeah,
they're in trouble. This team needs to do a full rebuild. I don't think they're going to re-sign Panarin. They need to move. I've said it before, and I'll even go in a little deeper today. Let me pull up some great information from one of my favorite sites, Puckpedia. I was going to make a joke, but then I figured we're talking some serious stuff here. This is the team that needs to get out of their own way. So look, Rangers, they have. I think this is the time where they just tear it down, break it down, and rebuild. Odds are you're not going to re-sign Panarin. You got guys like Lafreniere got 7.4. Till he's 24 years old. He's a contract you could probably move. People would love to have Vincent Trocheck on their team. He's at a really, really friendly contract. He's got 5.6 until 2029. You know, you got Miller at $8 million from 2030. You got Zibanejad, who needs to find that offensive touch. they got him for 8.5 until 2030. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of contract where I feel like they could probably shed one or two of them, get a bunch back, and then just rebuild. I mean, Gabe Perreault is a player you drafted to be a cornerstone player for this team, and he needs to get the opportunity to do so. And, yeah, I mean, look, Adam Fox has been out. He's on the IR. D-Court, you brought in Vladislav Gavrikov. He's a really strong defenseman. But when you go past those two guys, there isn't really much there. And, you know, it's tough when you have arguably one of the best goalies in the league and they're not really putting much in front of them.
Yeah.
So it's getting challenging. So you got to ask yourself, is this the time we tear it down and start fresh? Because I don't see this team being in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get there. I think there's too many teams in front of them that are better.
Fair.
And they, you know, maybe this is a year where you suck it up, you get a top five draft pick, a top 10 draft pick, and boom, now you're right back in it. You know, I think the Lafreniere contract is high, and I would try to move that. And who knows? Well, maybe there is something in the works where they're making some big moves. I mean, they have a GM who's not afraid to make trades, is not afraid to make moves. So yeah, they have that going for them. We'll see. But yeah, I don't see them. They're on the outside looking in. That's for sure.
Fair enough. All right. Let's see. Here's an interesting tidbit. I didn't even know this. Fenway Group owned the Penguins.
Yes.
Well, they did until today. Because I just found out yesterday. So they're reached an agreement to sell the Penguins to the Hoffman family. Who is this?
Yeah, they're a private equity firm, I believe.
Oh, great.
And they came in. Fenway Group just owns so many sports franchises. I think they were just, you know, they sold it because they want to sell it. I mean, there's like, they got like the Red Sox. They got, a Premier League team. They got a ton of sports. But yeah, I think it's a private equity company. They're coming in and, you know, breathing some fresh money, and you know, this is a historic team, 5 Stanley Cups, you know, a pillar of you know, excellence in the last couple of years. Just they're falling a little short, so you know, this might be the thing they need to get the team back into the playoffs, because they're right there. I know they're struggling right now, but I mean, they're a team that could definitely be in the playoffs, no doubt about it.
Fair enough. All right. The only other story I had on my list is so we're finally getting geared up for the Winter Classic, January 2nd in Miami.
Yeah.
That's an insanity. I guess the first 2 mobile refrigeration units just arrived, and that's big news on the NHL website. How are they going to do this? Highs of 84.
At night.
Okay, fair.
Because they tried to do a game in was it Lake Tahoe? A couple years ago, the outdoor game, and the ice was melting as they were playing. I believe it was Colorado versus Vegas, and the ice was literally becoming slush. So they had to stop the game after the first period, and they didn't go back to play it until like midnight.
Oh my God.
It was ridiculous. Like, they had to freeze it for hours to try to get to a better playing surface. So I think they learned from that experience, dialed it in, and got a better system. And yeah, if you have portable ice machines, you got a portable way to keep it cold, I think it'd be fine. Plus the game's at 7 o'clock. Normally when it was in the Midwest, when they did like St. Louis and Chicago, it was like a 1 o'clock game because it's already cold.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it'll be pretty cool. I mean, it's crazy to think it's already like a week away.
I know, it's absurd.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that is all I had on my, you know, we talked about the big stuff, you know, Quinn Hughes and everything, and even the little stuff that's happening. What do you, anything else that you want to cover, anything else you expect to happen before Saturday's deadline? What games are you looking forward to this week?
Yeah, let me, there's a couple games like always that I always like to call out.
Yep.
Anaheim-Dallas tomorrow on Friday is going to be a big one. I think Carolina-Florida you know, rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that's going to be a nice one. Saturday, there's a ton of great games. That Carolina-Tampa is a really nice one. We got Minnesota-Edmonton. That could be a potential Western Conference Finals matchup. Quinn Hughes and company playing at home against McDavid.
Yeah.
Sunday, Montreal-Pittsburgh is a nice one. Toronto-Dallas is one. Edmonton-Vegas. Those are all good games. So yeah, there's a bunch of fun ones going on, and we'll see what happens.
Amazing, amazing. All right, that wraps it up for me. Anything else on your agenda?
No, just chasing the dream and putting shots on goal and hunting for rebounds.
Fair. Any final thoughts?
Let's hope there's ice in Milan so they could have the Hockey Olympics, because the arena's not built yet. And
we are a couple months away.
We're weeks away, not months. We're weeks.
Well, okay, like 6 weeks. Okay, that's okay. Yeah, 2 months.
When we could use the phrase "we're weeks away," that you're in trouble.
The stadium hasn't been started, or it's not done yet.
Oh, it's started. I don't know what's going on, but they said it's going to be done in time for the Olympics, and I think the Olympics are the second week of February.
The paint won't even be dry when the people start showing up.
They're not painting it. They're just going to have ice. It's going to be ice and bleachers. You'll have more seating at a local pond hockey. What they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. Neither is this arena, because it's really bad.
Good Lord. But, all right. That wraps it up for this episode of Drive to Antioch.
Yeah. Brought to you by ice. We hope we have it. Oh, it's all tricky out there.
Lord. All right.
They're going to be playing friggin' floor hockey in the Olympics.
All right. Well, I'll let you get some sleep. My God. Yeah. Join us here next week. Thank you for joining us again. Same time, same place next week for more Drive to Antioch.
Yeah. They drove.